This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hey, welcome everyone. It's Carm Capriotto. It's another Carmcast from Remarkable Results Radio. Good to have you here. Thank you all so much for your support and your loyalty to download and listen to all the great business acumen that we have for the automotive repair. Automotive repairs serve the professional service business. So glad to have you here. We're going to do a Carmcast here, and we're going to talk about attracting, growing, and retaining your people, proven strategies to build a dream team that stays. And when I talk to shop owners, and we have one here, Russ Crosby, he says, Carm, he says, I have a rock star team. It took time to develop them, but it just does make life easy. And we're going to talk a whole lot about that. We have a great sponsor today. We always do on Carmcast from Technician Find. Are you tired or struggling to find skilled automotive technicians for your independent auto repair shop? Well, you are. Say goodbye to endless search and let Technician Find be your solution. TechnicianFind.com. Let me introduce you to my panel. We have a great panel, including the CEO of Technician Find, Chris Lawson. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Carm. Good to see you.
Thank you for coming here. We have this really cool thing that's coming on. Chris is putting together this summit, May and June. It's in New Jersey. We're going to hear all about it today, and we probably even recommend that you get your butt to it. It would be a lot of fun. Chris helps independent automotive and diesel repair shops find great technicians. Sean Gilfillan is here from Automotive Magic, two stores. I never can say the second name right.
Hopatcon.
Hopatcon.
You got it that time.
Excellent. In New Jersey. He's got 17 employees. I mean, so the team we have here, if you think about it, they've got a lot of people that work for them. So having the right people and the right culture to attract, grow, develop, and retain their people, they know it, they get it, they're all about it. Roy Neamy from A&D Auto, Automotive and Collision Repair. You also have fleet? Do you do fleet services?
Yes, we do. Yep, we have fleet services division as well.
Hazlitt, Michigan?
Yep.
24 people?
34, yep. So we just hired our 34th hire, full-time marketing.
Wow. You know, that sounds smart when you get that big. Russ Crosby is here from Russ's Wrench in Clinton, New Jersey. Hey, Russ.
Yes. Hey, thanks for having me.
Glad to have you here. Russ has been on before, along with Chris and Sean. Appreciate you guys' support. Russ has 10 people, and he's the one who says, we have some great stuff going on with our people.
Yes, we do. A lot of good stuff.
Good for you, Russ. Rob Morrison is here from Morrison's Auto Right. Auto Right?
Correct.
Good to have you here, Rob. Jamaica Plain, Massachusetts.
Boston, but yes, that's the neighborhood.
Boston? All right. Okay. Got it. 12 employees. Good to have you here. So we're all here through the invite of both Sean and Chris to talk about this great program that's going to go on. And we're talking May 31st through June 2nd. Attract, grow, retain people. And I've been invited to go. I'm so excited about this. So day one is all about the attraction piece. Can you imagine spending an entire day talking about attracting people? In my mind, that level of investment is like so important if you want to grow the right people, the right culture, the right customer expectations. You got to find the right people that want to walk in and live your dream, your culture, your vision. Then they're going to talk about growing their people. God, training and development. I think we forget about the growth part. I really do. Once they're on, wow, check the box. You know, how do we even orient them, bring them into the family? And that's all I believe is part of grow. And then the retention piece is all about keeping employees happy and retaining them for the long haul and knowing that you have to constantly work hard and make a lot of great profits so you can spend the money to retain them. So I know I didn't do perfect on talking about this, Chris, but give us a little bit more behind the scenes on this great summit you have coming up.
Yeah, sure. Well, you hit all the high points. It's 3 days. We're going to take a deep dive in each one of those three areas on each day. So that's really the point of it. You know, since 2017, when I started Technician Find, I've spoken to hundreds of shop owners. And one of the things I've heard over and over again in some form is, you know, Chris, the number one thing holding us back is talent. It's finding the right people. And it's a hugely frustrating pain point for shops that don't have that handled because it stops growth in its tracks. You know, our good friend, Eddie Lawrence, he always says, when you have the right staff in place, you gain freedom. And you can't put a price on that because it gives you a real business that operates without you. Sean and I, a couple months back, were talking about this and we said, you know what, let's put together a summit. Let's focus one day just on attraction, one day just on development, and one day just on retention. And that way we can give it the attention that it deserves, each one of those areas, and we can bring in speakers to talk about all those things. We have a lot of speakers that are going to be there. I'm going to share all the best stuff that's been working for us at Technician Find. Sean's going to share some really great stuff that he's been working on that has got him out of the day-to-day with his two shops. And we've got other speakers, and we are just as thrilled as pie to have you there, Carm, because we're really excited about your vision, your wisdom, and this the rise of the mechanical and technology specialist, because that idea, that vision fits into each one of these components, attraction, growing, and retention. So our goal and our promise is that we want to empower every participant with a network of high-performing shop owners, because there's going to be a lot of networking, a lot of masterminding, learning, having fun. And we're also promising that you walk away with a blueprint for building a fully staffed, high-performing, and unpoachable team.
Okay, I'm sold. How do I get there? What do I do?
We'll have a link in the show notes for you, and then you can do that, or you can send me an email, chris@technicianfind.com, and we'll get you set up.
Go to technicianfind.com on the web. I'm sure there's an email button or something there for you, and if not, chris@technicianfind.com. Thank you so much. Always great to work with us on the podcast when it comes to recruitment and finding great people. So thank you for that, and thank you for mentioning the declaration that I've written and that I've put out there. One of the most exciting things is a little side note here is that I'm presenting it to the Board of Governors at ASE. Again, I think it's a game changer in the industry, and the more we all get behind this language shift, yeah, it's important for internal, but it is also so important for the customer to hear us speak about our people in a much more professional way than wrench, than the mechanic. And again, I don't want to go into it too deep, but Hollywood has really hurt our image out there on how they perceive us to the real world. Look, let's spend the time on this Carmcast talking about these three areas: attracting, growing, developing, and retaining people. Attracting good employees. Let's start on that, Chris. Let's go around the room. Do what you want to do here.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought what I'd like to do is just give a little sample of what it's going to be like. And if anyone, whoever has a good story about attracting talent, a good story about how you found someone, a good story about the process of going through that, let's share that and let's go from there.
So we've been looking for a COO in the company, and something that we do here for the shop is we kind of think outside the box. We have massage therapists come into the business and kind of work on the guys and gals. We have personal trainers come in, teach us how to stretch so that we're not hurting ourselves. And we try to invest more in the people other than just training and things of that nature. We really didn't post that a whole lot. And somebody had told me in one of my 20 groups that, you know, you really should be promoting that. So we started promoting that. And fast forward, about a year later, I had a gentleman come into the shop and give us his resume. And, you know, we got talking. I said, hey, you know, how'd you find us? He said, oh, well, I've been following you guys online for a long time. He said he's been following us for about 2 years. Saw how we treat our team, saw how we dig deeper than just training for their job, but also, you know, the activities that we do with the families and all of these things. And he said it was really pushed him to send in a resume to the shop and his thought process. He's becoming our COO right now, but he applied as a CSR just to get his foot in the door because he saw what we did and just wanted to be a part of it so much. I know all the guys on this chat right now do so much for their teams. I think the big thing is promote it and let people see all of the little extra things that you do because everybody's watching, everything speaks. And I think that could be a big differentiating factor when it comes to whether someone's going to want to join your team or not.
Something just came to my mind in this whole attraction piece on how the ads are written. Because I do know that you want to promote the hell out of all the great things you do for your people. But if someone was reading an ad to come to work for you, Russ, wouldn't you want to tell them in the ad of your commitment to training? Because we recently did a show, an SWOT on the industry, and that there's some dealer techs that haven't been trained a lot lately, but they're afraid to come to work for an independent because they're not sure if they're going to come and be stuck into a particular certain platform, and they know that you work on all makes and all models. Are we saying enough in our ads to convince people of our commitment to ongoing perpetual studency?
Us personally, I think we need to really do a better job at promoting that. One of the things that I try to really focus in on is, yes, that's been a big thing when technicians are coming in, especially from dealerships. They're scared to come in and work on all makes and all models. But I think for me personally, that stuff we can teach them. We could get them comfortable with working on it. But for us to get them in the door, we focus heavily on our culture and the things that we're doing to improve their daily life in and outside of work.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's great. There's a couple of things that Russ said there I think are fantastic. One of them is really highlighting those issues when you're talking about it. That's what sets you apart. It's funny because we're talking about culture, and culture is a big buzzword, and it has been as long as I've been in this industry. I was new to the industry in 2017, and it's just being talked about more and more. And that's really what culture is what are you doing that's unique to your shop? And when you find someone that is attracted to that, those unique characteristics, then it really is a really compelling offer for them. And the other thing is just knowing that folks are watching you. It's brilliant what Russ is doing because he's putting out there what they're doing for their employees. And you have to know that people are watching this and they see it and they're stalking and they'll stalk you. And not only are technicians stalking you, but service advisors, other people that might be want to come and join your team, your customers, they're all stalking you as well. People are always watching you. So whatever you can put out there that shows how you're uniquely taking care of your employees, that's a great thing. And it's also, it's what we call passive recruiting. You may not be actively out there pumping money into Indeed or whatever it is that you're doing in order to find someone actively. You've got a line out there and you're always fishing for someone that might come through that may be a great fit for your team. Anybody else want to share on attracting? Anybody else have an attraction story that is working for them?
I got a quick one. I know you helped me write the ad for our technician that we've been looking to bring into our shop. You know, just recently, a couple of weeks ago, had a gentleman apply for the technician position. I started reading his resume and realized he had just about stepped into the district manager position for a chain quick lube division company. And I kind of called him up on the phone. I said, "You realize you applied for a technician ad, right?" He says, "Well, I kind of wanted to get my foot in the door, even if I got to, come in as a tech and just kind of work my way in." He's like, what you had in the ad really wanted me to, felt like I wanted to work there. So actually his first day is today. He's starting over at our maintenance location. And I think we found a great guy, but it really is the way that the ad's written or what attracts people to your culture and the way that you run your business, I think is very important to get the right people to the shop.
Absolutely. A lot of times what I hear is, I always ask when I first talk with a shop owner, a GM, the first thing I always ask him is, how did you get your ad? You know, did you grab a template from offline? Did you get it from your coach? You know, where did you get the ad? Did you write it yourself? And usually I grabbed a template and then we put our shop name in there. The thing that I always say is, if you really want to reverse engineer it, what you should sit down with is just sit down and look at your shop through the eyes of, if you're looking for a technician, look at your shop through the eyes of a technician. What are all the things that you offer your employees? What are all the benefits? And just sit down with your leadership team and just, whiteboard it or write it down on a pad of paper and just list all those things. And that's going to help you develop a more compelling ad. And that's going to draw them in, because what you're trying to do is you're creating a story that is compelling, that is a story where the tech is the hero and you're the guide. And you're walking them through the process and you're showing how they can experience a transformation by coming over to you. Another thing I always say is about 80% of your ad should talk about them. It shouldn't talk about you. And I always poke fun at the dealers because when I can always tell a dealer ad right away, because we have this long tradition of history and we're doing this and we've won all these awards and we've done this and we've done this and we've done this. There's nothing at all for the employee or the applicant all the way until the very bottom. It's like, here's how much we're going to pay you and here's your benefits and here's this and this and this. But the entire ad is about us. It's us, 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 us.
Chris, give me some words for our listeners that would be all about them. Just give me a sentence all about them.
I can tell you, from talking to hundreds of techs, I can tell you, it works for every position. We've hired for every position, but I can tell you with technicians, there's a certain number and all of you know this. There are certain things that techs want. And there are certain things that techs are looking for. I break it down to the core three. There's three main categories. One is compensation. It's money and benefits. You have to be competitive in money and benefits, or at least close. You don't have to be the top, but you have to be competitive there. You've also got to provide growth. There's got to be a pathway to growth, and it's personal and professional growth. And there's also respect. And everything falls within those three main categories, and lots of things fall in within respect. So respect can be open door policy. So there's not a bunch of layers between the decision makers and the employee. That's something that's very specifically technicians like to hear. Growth opportunities, training opportunities, making sure that your life works inside and outside of the shop. This is what Russ talked about. This is what Sean talks about a lot. Those are the types of things that are important that are buzzwords that are going to present you as being employee focused and not just focus on treating them like a widget.
Well said. Thank you. I can see the sentence right now in my mind. We know how important that growth, compensation, benefits, blah, 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 is to you. And then you can even expand on that a little bit further or encourage an interview so that they can come and find out.
Yeah. And this is what it is. It's matching up pain points with your solution. That's what it's all about. Let's move on to the development or the growth part. How are you training? How are you growing personal, professional development, that type of thing, and bringing your employees along? Does anybody have a story they'd like to share there?
Yeah, I can touch base on this one. So something that we discovered years ago, probably 8 years ago, we're still dealing with it now. Technicians are hard to come by. So we created a mechanics apprentice program here in-house going on 8 years ago now. And we were very fortunate to be able to pull from a number of small institutions around us. So we have a place called the Wilson Talent Center, which is a high school program. It's got an automotive program. Baker Community College, which has an automotive and diesel program. LCC has an automotive program. And Washtenaw Community College has a collision program. So we got ourselves involved with these programs and either A, sponsored students through it, through the programs in the college and the collegiate portion of it, helped them with their enrollment post high school into college with a way to, I guess, a track to go to help them be successful technicians. We spent a lot of time in talking about growth, and growth is not necessarily all knowledge base of vehicles. I think one of the things I was going to say something the last time around is our ad says very specifically, let us help you achieve all your dreams and ambitions. So I think that figuring out what individuals' growth is, I think is key to success. Not necessarily just growth in the automotive field, but growth in a personal field. So when we find guys that have the acumen and the work ethic, we can teach all the skills. So that's why we concentrate on the young team. I think the average age of my staff is under 30 years of age across all 10 technicians.
Wow. Wow, that is young.
Yep.
But it's brilliant in my, I don't know why. I just find that exciting to have such a young group.
It comes from a couple of different places. Like selfishly, two things that I don't like doing. I don't like hiring and I don't like firing. You wouldn't know that by having 34 people, but I don't like hiring people and I don't like firing people because it's the unknown, right? Are they going to be the right fit? And there's so many steps we go through to try to make sure that's the right fit. Like I do the initial interview, but my team does the rest of the interview, right? So I buy them all lunch. They sit down together. They break bread together. They talk shop. I'm not the one selling the job. I don't need to sell the job. My technicians sell the job for me. The ability to ask, if you ask me, yeah, this place is all peaches, right? It's sunshine and rainbows here, right? If you ask me, you know, this is the place you want to work for sure. But I want them to hear that from the horse's mouth, from the guys on the floor, the guys that deal with me day in, day out for the last 12 years. Let them sell that job for me. We were talking about acquisition earlier. I don't think I've had to go outside and acquire a staff member, a new teammate that didn't come from an internal recommendation. There's guys that are lining up to come work here because they see how happy the guys are here. So I've never had a bigger bench than I've ever had now. We have a service writer that's leaving us because he's moving on to develop a relationship with a woman he's been dating for a year, and she won't move, and she lives 2 hours away. So I literally reach in my drawer and I've got a pile of resumes of people that want to come here to be service writers. It took us a long time to develop that, but it is possible. I don't think we need to scrape and claw and everything else. We just need to develop, as Russ said, the right culture. Let our people work for us. Let them continue to do what they do. Other people will see how happy they are. They'll come knocking on the door.
Hey, are you tired or struggling to find skilled automotive technicians for your independent auto repair shop? Well, say goodbye to the endless search and let Technician Find be your solution at technicianfind.com. Forget about the ineffective job boards, high-priced recruiters, or hit-or-miss referrals. Our comprehensive services include creative ads, social media marketing, direct outreach, and passive recruiting that will attract top talent faster. With our proven three-step candidate sourcing process and five-mile famous passive recruiting service, we'll alleviate the burden of finding qualified staff and help you achieve the freedom, profit, and growth you've always dreamed of. Getting started is easy and begins with a quick onboarding call that will have you up and running in under an hour. Once you've hired the right candidate, you let the friendly Technician Find team know and they pause all of your campaigns until you need help in the future. No commitments, no long-term contracts, no hassle. Visit our website now to discover the ultimate solution for hiring technicians and schedule a personalized hiring strategy call with us, technicianfind.com.
I got to tell you, I find this fascinating. I got to have you on a show. You and I got to talk about this generational thing, this under 30 group of people that probably makes you young.
Yeah, I'm 43. I'll be 43 in a couple of days, but I go after work ethic. I can teach skill. I can show you the guides and all that. I go after work ethic. I want that young kid that gets up and grinds every day. I want that farm boy that woke up at 4 o'clock to milk cows. I want that wrestler. I want that, you know, female athlete. I go after athletes. Just show me work ethic and I'll give you all the tools you need to succeed.
Great stuff, Roy. Thank you.
Yeah. Outstanding stuff. Roy, we haven't met before, but I can tell you're doing a lot of awesome stuff. I just wanted to comment on a couple of things. One of them is not every shop has an apprenticeship program or a mentorship program so they can bring people along. And I understand it's a lot of work to put one of those together. But when you have one, it makes everything easier because you don't have to be as selective, specifically with technicians. I work with shops and they tell me, you know, and I need a certified master tech and I can't go any lower than that. It has to be a certified master tech. And it's a more expensive process to find one. It takes longer. And if you can just say, hey, you know, you can fit in a B, C tech and bring them up, boy, it sure makes everything a lot easier when you do that. So kudos for setting that up. And the other thing is having the big bench. Oh my gosh. You know, we generate a lot of applications for clients. And when they chuck a resume because it's just not working or it's not the right time and they just chuck it, I just want to tear my hair out. You know, it's like, get something, get a manila envelope and print the application out and put it in a manila envelope because you want to be able to call people afterwards. So kudos for doing that as well. And the other thing I just wanted to mention is that when you're talking with someone, I get a lot of people that say, you know what, I talked to a tech and then they ghosted me. We had one conversation and they didn't call back. I know you're doing an awesome job of this. I always say there's two questions that you should ask when you get on that first phone call. One of the questions is, hey, what has you looking for another shop right now? Find out where the pain point is. What's going on? Can you match up a solution? And that's one of them. And the other thing is, hey, where do you want to be personally and professionally in 5 years? And I love that, the way that you're taking care of them. And I can tell you're helping to keep your employees accountable towards their personal goals. That's when you really get a bond. And the shops that I work with that have some kind of a personal development and professional development and sit down with their one-on-ones and say, hey, I know you're trying to buy that house. You know, how's the savings coming along? Or, hey, I know you were trying to do something else. You know, you're trying to learn to play the guitar. You know, how can we help you to make sure that you get to those goals? Man, that bonds you together. That creates a culture where everybody's happy. And like you said, you've got all of these internal referrals coming because it's such a great place to work. People want to bring their friends. And we all know that when you've got a rock star, they know rock star friends. And so it makes hiring a lot easier. So it's awesome. I'm glad you shared that info.
Great advice, both of you. Be a pack rat. Don't throw any application out ever. In fact, stop. You know, if you look at them online, print them. Because you never know. Hey, you never know, right?
If you're sophisticated, put it into a spreadsheet or into your CRM, your client relationship management system, or put them in your phone. You know, we have clients that put them into their phone. If it's a technician, put their name, their number into your phone, and then put technician next to their name so that when you need someone, you can just pull up technician and boom, all of them come right up. You just go down the list and start calling. Building that bench is so important.
A great idea. Wow, we're paying benefits with this episode. I love this.
This is what we want to do. We want to dig deep and get those good ideas.
If you pay attention to your Facebook posts and you Facebook stalk people a little bit, you'll see that it's other technicians following your shop. So you have a little bit of a gateway back to them. Our number one fan is another tech at another shop, which is kind of funny. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. And you know what? One Friday afternoon, something's going to happen at his shop. And guess who's going to get the phone call? Yeah. Yeah. Brilliant. Yep. I love it. You know, that's how this game is played. And it, as it gets more and more competitive, we're going to have to be playing this game more and more, because that's how you're going to really stay fully staffed. So yeah, good stuff. That's why social media is so powerful.
One other thing that I wanted to just say too is we got in the habit of doing this a couple of years ago, where those resumes that you have, if you're having company functions, like we just had a party at my shop over the weekend, there were a couple people here that have applied and we invited them out to those functions so they can actually see who we are and how we get along outside of the work environment. So if you have that opportunity to invite them to a function, I highly suggest it, because it really gives them a good opportunity to hang out with your team, meet your team before you get them through the door.
It's a brilliant thought. Russ just celebrated 10 years and I love it. Go back to people maybe you interviewed, but they didn't come on board. Even if they ghosted you, just get over it and just send them an email invite that says, hey, we're having a 10-year anniversary this weekend. Love to have you stop by just because I know you. What a brilliant idea. We don't think outside the box enough, and especially if we're going to recruit and develop such a great business, our dreams, our visions, our goals of where we want to be someday. You know, I just love what Roy is doing. Roy, you don't probably work at all, do you? I mean, are you staying home like 3 days a week?
You're out of your mind. No, I'm here every day, man. This is my ship. I drive it.
All right, baby. I figure you got this thing churning so well that you don't even have to be there.
Hey, I've got a 12-year plan. We're going to stick to it.
All right, baby. I got to see. That's the answer. I got a plan. I got a goal. Great. Back to you, Chris.
This is great stuff. Okay, what I'd like to do is let's get into the retention. So how do you keep your employees happy? How do you get the retention? How do you make sure that you all know that your techs are being stalked? You all know that. And they're probably being communicated with, you know, somebody's in their ear. So how are you building that moat around them so that they're not going to be looking at the grass being greener on the other side of the fence? Anybody got a good story to share?
There's a lot of things you can do. I got a story. I'll just touch base real quick on Trevor Herrick. Trevor Herrick's a technician that came to me in my apprentice program seven years ago. Came right out of Wilson Talent Center. He was working at a dealership, underutilized. The kid grew up in junkyards working on cars, super, super smart, incredibly, incredibly talented. He worked alongside of Alex and he grew. He became he's a very, very skilled technician. And I always thought in my head that this is the guy they're going to headhunt. This is the guy they're going to go after. And there was so many things I did to set that up for him to easily say no. There's a ton of things that go into it. It's pay, give him incentive-based pay that nobody can touch. Give him work schedules, like 4-day work weeks that nobody can touch. Give him, you know, boot programs. And I sit down and have one-to-ones with him. And we talk about what his dreams and aspirations are. He wanted to buy a house. And he's 26 years old, 27 years old, and just bought his first house. And I helped coach him through the whole thing. So there's knowing their dreams, knowing their goals, and making sure they align with yours. That's how you keep them. That's how you make sure that they don't go looking. And when somebody does come looking, hey, you know what? I'm happy where I'm at. I'm paid well. I get everything I need. There's no reason for me to take your job. Yeah, you're going to offer me more money, but I don't think that's everything at this point. You know, Roy knows my goals. He knows my dreams. He knows my projects. You know, I think that's the most important part for retention. We talk about culture. That's just my 2 cents on it.
Yeah.
Something else that we focus on here for retention is you really got to get to know the families too. I know I keep coming back to this, but having a bad day at work is going to happen when the family that you're going home to understands the company that they work for and that it was just one bad day or something happened. You don't have that bird chirping in your ear. Well, you can go anywhere. You could do anything. Making sure that the family is involved with activities and shop-related things is really important. That's a big driving factor to keep people engaged. And also, when we talk about core values and things like that, honesty is typically one of the biggest ones that comes up. And having an honest culture where your people, if they are being headhunted or approached, them feeling comfortable and confident to come talk to you about it so that they're not hiding it, I think that's really important. We had that happen last year. We had a COO who left us, and as soon as he left, he started calling up a couple of my guys trying to get him to come and join that team. And my team members talked to me about it. They had a conversation with me and said, hey, this is what's going on. I just wanted to let you know so that you don't hear it from someone else. And I, you know, I really respected that. And it gives us an opportunity to really learn what the other places are offering, but also it builds that trust between team members and myself. So yeah, just really leaning into that open door and of communication and keeping things above water.
Yep, I love that.
One small thing that we just did, we feel like Roy, compensate accordingly, make it so that it's difficult to just take the guy for a buck an hour or something like that. You don't want to be in that. If you can't make money on him, you need to move on from him anyways, or train him up or whatever. That's our mentality. But the one thing that I did get from Roy was their personal lives. We hired a life coach / mental health coach, however you want to call her, but just someone to help them vent their issues, someone to talk to, a safe zone. Really, really paid off. More than one of them came up to me and thanked me for caring enough to even consider doing something like that. When they know that you care about them, that helps a lot.
So I got to ask a question of all of you guys. I love what I have been hearing. You got to pay attention, though. You've got to bring your intuition into the bays, into the counter. You've got to make sure your ears are wide open and not pass judgment. You have to manage by walking around. You have to have meetings that you don't run, that they run, so that you can hear things. We may not be doing enough of that. And if we do a lot of it, I think your retention is great because you're filling and finding need individually.
If you listen, they'll tell you. I mean, it's no secret, right? They'll tell you. And then some of the stuff too, like there's some things that we as shop owners and managers don't necessarily need to deal with. And that was, you know, Rob touched base on a program with the mental health coach, right? I'm not here to try to coach people how to take care of their bills and stuff like that. That's not my position. I'll find somebody that can help them way better than I can, because I'm just going to tell you to stop spending money. That's what I'm going to tell you, right? But somebody else can help them with budgeting. And it's crazy how far those little things go. You get somebody comes in that's like a budget consultant, you know, because your guys, you can see it on their face when their money's tight and they can't pay their bills. They've made some poor decisions, but you can get the right person in front of them versus you trying to coach them through it. Because if you're trying to coach them through it, they're going to look at you as like a selfish, you know, business owner or shop manager. You just want more from me. Well, no. I just want you to pay your bills.
Yeah, that's right. So he doesn't want me to spend any money so he could pay me less.
Another thing I think really helps a lot is having coming to work be like fun, right? Have games for the team to play, certain achievements where they can make some extra money at the end of the month or the end of the quarter, and really having everybody rowing in the same direction. We've done a really good job creating some games here, which includes a little bit of profit sharing at the end of each quarter and year. So everybody's got their aim on where we want to get to and what we want to achieve, and it makes it fun.
It's big today, gamification. And in fact, I know the today's class, a great app that technicians learn things, they ask questions, they have a gamification piece in it, which is really, really neat. And I think that's right. It also, all that stuff makes it fun to come to work because there's different things going on. It's just not, you know, the grind.
That's right. And these are all great things to talk about too.
I took a page out of your book, Sean.
All right.
I went and got $1,000 worth of $2 bills. You got not to believe how hard that was to get.
Yeah, you got to ask the bank a couple weeks ahead for that stuff.
Yeah, so I had to call and order it, right? So I ordered $1,000 of $2 bills. Every air filter, every cabin filter, every set of wipers, the service writers get a $2 bill for it. Well, they started paying people with these $2 bills when they went out. People like, where'd you get all these $2 bills from? Oh, we get them from work. And they start asking questions. It's a conversation starter is all it is. That's the only reason for the $2 bill. They might sell 20 sets of wipers a week, right? So they get 40 bucks out of it or whatever it may be. But it is actually, yeah, I took a little page out of Sean's book there. So thanks, Sean, on that one.
Yeah, you're welcome.
That's a great idea because it is so different. I have a pocket full of $2 bills. Whoa, that's weird.
People tend to not spend them as fast, believe it or not. I still got a couple of them in my wallet just like hanging out there because I don't want to get rid of it.
And you want people to talk about you? Whoa.
It's just a weird little conversation starter. That's what I figured. It was a $2 bill. What makes things weird? You know,
Well, the federal banking system is going to call me and says, can you take that episode down? Because we're running out of $2 bills. Yeah.
They'll just print more.
Right.
Right. It's only paper.
So imagine that. We want to make a nice work environment for our staffing to come and enjoy where they are. Imagine that.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
So I have a question for you all, since we're talking about everything, you know, attracting, growing, retaining. I had this wild thought a couple of weekends ago about all the great future technicians that we have out there that are struggling in marginal shops. And they just don't have the gumption to want to leave because they're comfortable. And there's a routine. I get up, I do this every day. I'm not making a lot of money. I'm not even sure. How do we recruit those? How do we get the messaging out to people that aren't in a network? They're stuck. They're in the deep part of the bog in the mud. How do we find them and get them out? Because if we had training and we brought them into a high culture place, we could find maybe a potential superstar that's just stuck somewhere.
I got lucky that way. I basically saved a guy that was leaving the industry, burnt out, terrible, terrible work situation, hated it. And my second in command knew him from a previous job and heard the rumor that he was leaving. And he goes, oh, you got to come over here. We got lucky. He came in and he has been blossoming. It's been great. Sold himself as like a C tech and he's a pretty strong B. So I was pretty happy.
It just reminds me that when we're out with our business cards in our pocket, I don't think you leave the business or you leave the house without a business card and your wallet is somewhere on you, because your goal to find great people in whatever position should be recruiting. And if the way Roy does it, fabulous, you've got, you know, 50 resumes sitting waiting. They're hot. They're burning. They want in. But there's so many other shops that have not gotten to that level. How are we going to do them? If you find an individual while you're outstanding at the line at McDonald's and they look like a technician, you need to ask them, what do you do for a living?
Are you giving that used car salesman thing where your card's in your hand, you shake his hand and slide it out?
Exactly. I think so much of a part of all of our jobs is being a perpetual recruiter while we're out, because we're looking for all kinds of great talent. You wouldn't be on this show and you wouldn't be going to this great event that Chris is putting on if you weren't looking to find rock stars on a daily basis. Find them, develop them, and keep them. But to everyone's point, Rush, you were saying it earlier. Oh my God, I'm at this perfect place. It was a struggle in the last couple of years. I had to let some people go. Some left. It was okay. We've worked that grind so hard. And Russ, I think before we even turned it on, it says, I'm in a great place. But it was so much hard work. Sleepless nights, 2 o'clock wake ups.
Yeah, a lot of panic phone calls to Sean, Rob, Roy.
They talked me off the bridge. Yeah.
Yeah. The theme here that we've been talking about is, now that we have a great team, you don't want to take your foot off the pedal and kind of slide back. We want to keep our eyes and ears open for other people. Might not even be in our industry. You know, I love going out to restaurants and stuff like that where you get great service. Ask them what they do. Ask them if they'd be interested in trying something different. But yeah, keeping the team is so important. And it's shifted my focus so much on, you know, what do I have to do to keep them here?
Your point on that, Russ, that's crazy. My best tech ever came from a Five Guys Burgers and Fries, was an ASE master tech at 23 years of age. He was driving a Mazda Miata that had a ton of exhaust on it. And I went in there, saw the car, talked to him. Like, dude, is that your car? He's like, yeah, I like working on cars. I'm like, really? Like, what are you doing here? He's like, oh, this is my job. I'm like, do you like working on cars? Like, yeah. So we brought him in. The kid was an ASE master tech by the time he was 23 years old, started with us at 19. It's just insane. Everything about him, he just eat, slept, drank cars. That's what he did. That was his life.
You know, that is such a great story. Thank you so much, Roy. When I think of, you said Five Guys, and I have to share this. I remember going into a Five Guys maybe recently, and for a burger, fries, and a Coke, it was nearing $20, okay? And it rocked my world, number one, is I'm here with my wife, I'm going to lunch, I'm going to spend $40, and it was, But the point that you make is, what are we paying our people? Can they afford to eat at Five Guys per hour? I mean, you know, that to me is a shocker when we are looking at what California just did for minimum wage at fast food places at $20. That buys them lunch today. It's getting so crazy in the price of food. And I don't want to go there into an economic thing, But when we look at what we're going to pay our people, we need to think about how we look at the real world ourselves and how we expect our people to live and want to come to work for us.
You know, there's a couple of cool programs that a lot of the states do and or counties that you're in as well, like workforce development, incumbent worker training, that if you look in your local areas, the counties are willing to give you a hand, especially if you're running an apprenticeship program where they pay a portion of their wages to get them trained up to the point where they're going to be productive enough to be profitable. So, you know, reach out for your local workforce development areas also. It's been a big help for us with some training.
Yeah, and Department of Labor approved apprentice programs will help you. You just got to do some paperwork and they're going to give you a very large part of that raise. And, you know, I'm very close with NAPA. They're great sponsors on all of our shows. They got a great apprentice program and a lot of people in it, but there should be, you know, 10 times more because of, to the point, I love Roy. I got all these young people working for me and they're great and we've got a great business. And I think it was you, Chris, that said, we got to build that bench. You know, wow.
And also take care of your long-term employees. Don't let the, I guess I'd call it creep or whatever you want to call it. You bring in the new guys, you're watching what level you need to have, Matt, to get them to come on board. Well, make sure your other guys aren't tempted to go somewhere else because you forgot about them because they're quiet, they're happy, they're content. Don't make them ask.
Within 1 week, they'll know what that person makes or less, right?
Now you're trying to judge, you know, a C tech to an A tech or a strong B tech. I mean, I got two B techs that make me so much productivity. It's insane. Give them a check engine light that's one step past, you know, normal. And you're like, okay, maybe not so strong anymore. They're not, you know, they're not a master A L1 tech, but you still got to take care of them, watch them, make sure they're happy and compensated correctly, I guess.
This was enlightening. So many great takeaways. Let's do a recap, Chris.
Yeah, absolutely. This is what happens when you get a lot of smart guys in the room. This is just great stuff. So really just going through with attracting, I think the big takeaways here for attracting is definitely you want to be doing passive recruiting. This is where social media is so important on the attracting side, making sure that those things that you're doing, because just about every shop is doing some sort of things for their employees, make sure you're communicating those things. That's the important part. Is, you know, a lot of shops that I talk with, they'll say, oh yeah, well, I'm doing this. And they don't even think about it, about talking about that on social media or taking pictures and posting it. And those types of things, we don't realize how many people are watching you all the time. So I think that's a really big takeaway there. Going into looking at developing your teams, making sure that you understand what their goals are, taking that time. I mean, Roy nailed it. I mean, he just said, if you ask them, they'll tell you, you know, it's that simple. And when you understand what somebody's dreams and hopes are outside of the shop and in their life, and you're helping them to get there, it builds a bond that's amazing. And everybody knows it and everybody sees it. And so I think that's a really important takeaway there. And then just making sure that you're always thinking about what you can do for your employees and just putting yourself into their shoes. Those are all really important ideas. And then on retention, you know, Sean, I know Sean's worked really hard on developing his profit sharing program. And I know Sean also is very transparent about his numbers. He's about as transparent with his numbers as any shops that I've worked with. And I know a lot of his employees, I've talked with them, gone to conferences with them. And I know that it really takes it up another level when you sit down and you say, this is what the shop made. This is what it is. This is how it all got divided up. This is what you get. This is the game we're playing. So creating those games, creating transparency, doing whatever it takes. Roy also shared some amazing stuff about you know, how he builds a moat around his employees and the types of things that you do. A lot of this is just about focusing on it and being aware of it. So all of those ideas are fantastic. I hope you listen to this episode with a notepad because there's a lot of stuff you can implement right away.
No doubt. And let's not forget about the great summit you have coming up May 31st through June 2nd. Tell us again about it.
Yes, it's going to be in Mount Arlington, New Jersey at the world headquarters of Gutman Development Strategies. It's a beautiful facility. It's Gutman Development Strategies is they do consulting and management leadership training and development for Fortune 500 companies. So we've got a state-of-the-art facility, and we're even going to have Howard Gutman come in and give us some of his wisdom of working with these Fortune 500 companies for, gosh, how long, Sean?
Over 30 years. 40.
Just a wealth of knowledge and wisdom, and the facilities are amazing. We're also going to have some fun. We've got some events planned. And we're going to do some deep dives. We're also going to do a couple of shop visits. We got a lot of stuff going on. We're going to be doing masterminding, networking, learning, and we're going to have fun as well.
Sounds exciting. And I think if you really care about growing your human resource side, your people, your team, you're going to want to be at the Attract, Grow, and Retain, the Proven Strategies to Build a Better Dream Team Summit. Oh, thanks for being here. This was great, everyone. And you know, that whole Where the Money Goes, Sean, you just mentioned it, and I have to mention it. I just spoke at a recent business development group last week, and I did my little presentation on Where the Money Goes. And it's a really cool episode that we have up on the website that we've done. It's Town Hall Academy 210. To your point, Sean, people don't really know, you know, well, you had a $3,000 job here and Sean gets all of it. And people don't quite understand how that works. And we need to explain to them in serious detail what we have to do with profit, what profit really, really means to the business, and that we need to make it. And it's not a dirty word. So, and I know all of that will probably come out in your summit, because I think that's one of the ways to retain your people is they need to know.
Yes. You know, the good news is it's a mechanical, picture of what does it look like? How's the machine work? And what are all the gears inside of it and the people inside of it create? Right?
Yeah, it's a perfect way to analyze it. Let's put this into a mechanical perspective. Chris Lawson, Sean Gilfillan, Roy, Niemi. I'm never going to get that right, because I think that I and that E goofs me up, Roy.
I've been called worse. It's okay.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. Russ Crosby and Rob Morrison, thank you all for being here. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Carm.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.